Welcome to the Soul Summit podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Preedy. I'm here to help bridge the gap for women and families in the outdoors, build a community of adventure junkies, and roll out your weekly dose of positive vibes. With almost two decades in the health and fitness world and an untamable passion for hunting in the outdoors, my mission is to help you live your bucket list life and move boldly in the direction of your dreams. Meet us here weekly as I connect with like-minded outdoor men and women to discuss health and mindset, accountability, life and entrepreneurship, as well as all things hunting and epic untold stories. The Soul Summit podcast is brought to you by Maven Optics, Baku E-Bikes, Hoyt Archery, Onyx Maps, and Sawyer Products. For more information on these companies or to access the Soul Summit podcast discount codes, be sure to check out our show notes. In this episode of the Soul Summit podcast, our co-host Kelly Reynolds is joined by Lacey Martolio from Wyoming. Together, they dive into a profound exploration of breaking stereotypes and challenging the notion that women must set aside their passion after having children. They explore how pursuing your dream sets a powerful example for children, instilling courage and ambition to chase their own aspirations. Engaging in the activities you love not only enriches your own life, but enables you to better invest and positively impact the lives of others around you. Ultimately, the conversation seeks to challenge the misconception that parenthood necessitates bidding farewell to personal pursuits. Emphasizing the significance of being present, they advocate for quality over quantity and time spent with your loved ones. Lacey expresses a sentiment of seizing life's opportunity, urging listeners to embrace their passions wholeheartedly. The conversation shifts to social media's impact, emphasizing its role in connecting women in the outdoor community while cautioning against comparison. Lacey shares personal anecdotes of forming meaningful friendships through social media platforms and highlights its ability to be a useful tool. Kelly and Lacey then explore Lacey's pack trips, offering insights into the transformative experiences these mountain excursions provide for women. They provide details on accessing these guided pack trips and resources for those interested. Reflecting on her journey, Lacey offers advice to her past self, acknowledging struggles with mental health and advocating for self-compassion and physical activity as pathways to healing. She leaves listeners with profound takeaways, encouraging them to pursue their aspirations, embrace failure as a stepping stone to success, and bravely embrace growth, even in the face of fear. Now, let's hop right into today's episode with Lacey and Kelly.
Okay, I am Kelly Reynolds, and I'm here with Lacey Martolio today, and we're here to talk all things outdoors, specifically hunting, and I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about you, and thanks for being here, Lacey.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, why don't we just kick this off, and you can tell us a little bit more about yourself.
All right. So I am a dentist. I live in Wyoming. I really started getting into the outdoors, I don't know, probably about 8 years ago, like the adventure style of outdoors. I was kind of going through a crummy time in my life, honestly, and I just wanted to get away from cell phone service was like really what pushed me. And so I would get off work and I would literally just drive towards the mountains and get out of cell phone service and go hiking. And it was what helped me kind of clear my mind and clear my head. And from there, I ended up meeting my now husband, Josh, and he's an outfitter, takes people hunting. And so my life really went in this direction of wilderness and mountains. And that's kind of what's pretty much shaped my whole life now. Like outside of my dental career, I love being a dentist. I like love my patients and doing that. But the mountains and outdoors and hunting is like really like my lust and what I constantly crave for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And you guys have kind of curated a life that supports that. And it just seems like you spend as much time as you can outside. So can you kind of talk to us about how, you know, you and your husband kind of commit your life to supporting your outdoor pursuits?
It's nice because we're both so passionate about it and we're both so understanding that it's almost like a need in both of our lives. Like it's kind of what we need for like mental and emotional health is to be outside and hunting. And it's what we do together too. So like even just as a couple, it's very bonding for us, I guess you could say. And I guess you kind of always have plans. Like, you have your hobbies, and luckily we both just have the same hobby, which is nice. But I mean, I do have to kind of work around my career, and Josh's career is always in the outdoors, which is nice. And so I think a lot of times if we're not working for the outfit, we're scouting for the outfit, or we're just outside enjoying it. And so that's pretty much where all of our time and focus goes socially, is on the outdoors.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the rest of your family and your home life.
So I do have two little girls. I don't talk about them a whole lot on social media just because, you know, people are a little weird. I'm kind of protective of them in that way. And honestly, overall, I'm a pretty private person. So my social media is very focused on my outdoor life, and everything else I kind of keep protected because, like, you just get this one little window. And so I do have dentistry. I have my kids. And I am really big on, I like to take them as much as I can, but also I feel like I went through a lot of times in my life where people are like, oh, you can't do that. Or wait till you have kids and you won't be able to do this anymore. You won't be able to do that anymore. And well, like, to me, I'm kind of like, well, I'm going to do whatever I want. Like, I'm going to figure out how to do it. Like, that's always been my mentality. But also for other women, because if you constantly have that getting barked at you, you start to believe it. And so if you have dreams and goals and things that make you happy and make you feel whole, you can find a way to do it. And also for my girls, I want them to see me doing that. I don't want them to be easily influenced on, this is your role, this is what you do, this is how you behave. It's more, if you have something that, like, is a passion and ignites you, you need to follow it and you need to do it. And I want my girls to see me doing that because I want them to live that way too. And so that's why I'm kind of passionate about it as well. And I feel like if you don't fill your cup, like, how are you going to pour into your kids and how are you going to pour into your family? So if you don't take care of your emotional and your mental state and you don't do those things that make you feel whole, you're not going to be totally there for those people that need you as well. So that's kind of where I am with that.
Yeah, for sure. I can really resonate with that. I bet just so many women can. You know, it feels like society's kind of telling us, like, you have to get married, and then you get married, and then it's like, when are the babies coming? And so often we're surrounded by women who love being mothers, of course, and just pour themselves into it. And there's just pieces of motherhood that are hard for me to see. You know, what you're saying really resonates with me. I can really appreciate that you put so much time into kind of protecting what's important to you, because you can show up for your kids and be a better mother and spouse. I don't have kids, and this is actually, like, really nice to hear, and it's really refreshing because it's, you know, not only are your adventures and, you know, outdoor pursuits a little bit unique for women, but, like, you're also doing it as a mother and fulfilling both roles. And that's a rarity, and it's really refreshing to hear.
Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of women kind of guilt me too. Like, I don't know how you spend so much time away from your kids. And I could see how that would be hard for them. And I don't ever want people to think, oh, my choices are better. Like, my choices are just my choices, and that's what's better for me. And if that's what's better for them, that's what's better for them. Like, I don't mind what people choose to do. But that's how I felt about it. And so growing up, my parents divorced, and one parent I saw maybe 2 to 3 months out of the year. But when we were together, it was just very dedicated time together. We were always in the mountains. We were always fishing. We were always doing stuff. We were active. I created so many memories with that parent. And the other parent I was with a lot more, but I had a lot less memories. And so that also kind of taught me being present isn't necessarily quality time. I think when you're with somebody and you're making those core memories, and as long as you're focused on the right things at the right time, that's what's important. So, like, to me, if somebody's gone for a week or two here or there, like, you're not going to remember that. You're going to remember all that quality time you spent with them when you were with them. And so to me, I think that's important, not just present time, but quality time with your kids. And so when I am home, I play tag every night. I try to be super active with my kids and do lots with them when I'm here. And then when I'm gone, like, there's no question about like, why aren't you here? Like, do you not love me? Like, it's, I don't get any of that from my kids at all. So,
yeah, I love that. I bet there's some listeners right now that are just like, really needed to hear that. And you're so spot on with, I think, quality over quantity time. And kind of like you spoke about a little bit, I mean, you're really being such a role model for your girls that not only are you doing things that are important to you to fill your cup, but like you're also showing them that they can be so much more than the standard of women. And I just really admire that. That's great. I think I wish more women kind of poured into themselves, however that looked.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, just people in general, like, I don't know, you just get turned down so many times throughout your life. And then you allow, I think, other people to paint this picture of you and what you are. And you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm not that person. I'm not that person who goes on adventures. I'm not that kind of person who succeeds in that. And it's like, why not? Like, you can be that person. You just have to try and take those steps and do it and suck and fail and get setbacks and all those things with it. But you can really be whatever person you want to be, as like cliche as that sounds. You really can. And so that's, if there's one thing I could tell people is like, you get this one life. And so why not go all for it? Why not try to do everything you want to do? Everything that sets your heart on fire, like, it does that for a reason. And to me, that is a calling. And I think you really need to listen to that and go forth with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're just kind of raising these beautiful little humans, if that's how, what you're showering them with. I mean, that's just a great outlook on life. And I think if more people were raised that way and had role models in their life that were portraying that, like, the world would probably be a much better place. Like, you really can do whatever you want. And I, on my episode, Courtney had asked me, like, if I could ask my former, or if I could give any advice to my former self, what would it be? And I was just thinking about being a little girl and, you know, growing up and kind of thinking about what roles you feel like you're supposed to be fulfilling, and just by society, not even close friends or family or anything. And
oh, yeah.
It's like, you really can be it all. And I think, hearing from more women like yourself, I think kind of mirrors that for so many that really need to hear it. Like, you can fill your cup up outside of your family. You can have a successful career. You can have a great relationship. You really can do it all if it's important to you. I always kind of try to say, like, you know, when speaking of others, like, if it's important to you, you'll make it happen. And if it's not, that's okay. If being a woman in the outdoors is not your cup of tea, but you still want to fulfill your life in other ways and show up for your family, then you should.
Oh yeah. 100% for sure.
So you are a dentist, you have two girls, you have a husband, and you guys own your own business. Like, how do you really manage your time? Cause that is a pretty full plate.
My time is very compartmentalized, I guess. Like, I do have to pretty much when I'm at work, it is strictly dentistry. And then when we're with the girls, I try to be really focused with the girls. And then at night when they're in bed, then I will work on my other stuff. And so Josh and I are both very aggressive and kind of all in on all things. And so that's really nice. Like, I don't think I could be with somebody who is like, let's just lay here and watch movies all day. Like, I probably couldn't do that. I'm very anxious and like, I like to constantly work and do things. Like, I feel a level of guilt to watching TV, yeah. And that's just me. It's how I am. Like, I don't hate at all when people like to watch TV or TV shows, but like, if you quote a TV show or try to talk to me about some, I don't know what you're talking about.
Totally get that.
Don't. So yeah. I'm just very go, go, go. And pretty much one thing about Josh and I is I feel like when opportunities come up, we usually say just yes. Like, right away. And we're very adaptable when things come up. So if we have to shuffle things around to do things, that's what we do, because we know, like, we just don't have that much time. And I mean, time overall, like the years just go flying by. And so if you don't say yes now and you don't plan it now, like when are you going to do it?
Yeah. So absolutely. Well, you know, you guys sound like such a successful couple, but how do you guys find success as a couple while hunting? Like, we get this question a lot from our friends or kind of out like peripheral people, and usually males that are like, I could never hunt with my partner or my spouse. And I mean, the way that you talk about spending time with your husband is very similar to me. Like, kind of, it's kind of the baseline and foundation of our relationship is being outdoors together and adventuring. Not everyone can do that successfully as a couple, but how do you guys kind of manage that?
So it's kind of different for every situation. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty self-reliant when it comes to just packing and horses and camping. And so I kind of have all that under control by myself, but Josh is a phenomenal hunter. And I, of course, obviously I'd be super biased, but he's amazing. And when we're in those like high intensity hunting moments, sometimes, and Josh and I think a lot alike, which is nice as well, probably also because he has been my main coach as far as hunting goes. But it, to me, we kind of slip into more of like a coaching relationship in that moment. And so if he's like, hey, you got to do this now, like, it's kind of like I see Josh as my coach and he wants me to be successful. And so the intensity is just different in that situation. And so if Josh was ever like, you got to get up this hill now, like, I'd be like, oh gosh, I have to get up that hill now. But if Josh at home was like, you got to do those dishes, I'm like, what? Who do you think you are? You don't talk to me like that. Like, it's just different. And so when we're in that hunting situation, it's more of like that coaching mentality. But I know what you're talking about because I've seen it like with fly fishing and some couples trying to coach each other outdoors. And I'm like, why don't you just like pay for a guide?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's just not where your strong suit is.
Make it more enjoyable for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not enjoyable, don't force it. I guess that's the big thing. But like with that being said, one of the most comical things I think I ever recorded, and I wish I could find it, Josh and I were elk hunting and we're recording and somebody, it's still disputed, kicked a rock. And Josh was like, can you be quiet? I'm like, I am being quiet. You're not being quiet. And then we have this like whisper fight the whole time. And like in the moment, like we're just, you know, so like intense with hunting. And then after I realized we were recording and we listened to it and we laughed so hard. Like you can definitely like bicker and things like that. But it's just different.
You can't take like the couple out of the woods.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really interesting perspective because whenever I talk about this, I always kind of share like, you know, usually I think it's mostly men who don't want to bring their wives or partners along. And so my advice is always like, well, you should ask her, make it comfortable. But you're kind of giving really unique perspective of being a partner with somebody who knows more than you. And that's great advice to look at your partner as a resource. Like if your partner does know something more than you, what a great opportunity for you to get better at something. And being open-minded and a sponge about that is really just, you know, you're both going to be better off for it.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's kind of, he's kind of the same way though. Cause one time, this is before kids, I was hunting this same antelope like every day. I knew exactly their pattern. I knew they were going. I knew what time. Like I had them down to the T. I knew what they were going to do. And so Josh had been out hunting with clients. And so he came home and we went hunting. And I'm like, all right, you got to get here. They're going to come across here this time. This is going to happen. And he was just kind of like, okay. Like he just knew I knew all that info about them. And so it's kind of like, yeah, if your partner knows more than you, and for me, and sometimes that's hard to say who knows more about certain things, but I mean, like I said, Josh is just top-notch hunter, and so, like, to me, it's just a coaching type situation, and I played varsity sports, and so intensity in intense moments doesn't intimidate me or hurt my feelings at all, and so it just, like, it just works for us, for sure.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, especially when you're, like you said, kind of getting down to the wire, your partner looks over at you and is like, oh man, like this is it. Like we have got to like haul ass up this hill or whatever it is. Closing in, being quiet. Like that is not the time to like bigger, get your feelings hurt. And those are, I kind of always express, like, those are things you should kind of talk about ahead of time, because like, especially if someone doesn't know what to expect going into it, like, your guide or your partner should kind of say, like, there's going to be a moment where things are going to get really intense and you just have to do what I say. And you can't get your feelings hurt about that. But it is an interesting dynamic in the field, because kind of like you said, it does change at home. And you're but, you know, it's all relative. Like, I see that there's, like, strengths and weaknesses to both of us in the field or at home, and kind of just play off of that. But yeah, I just think that's a really unique perspective for more of the follower in the situation to be a little bit more open-minded and look at your partner as someone who's knows a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel so lucky to have him as a coach, because the few times I have gone guided with other people, I'm kind of like, oh, that's not what I would do. And it's because I've learned from Josh, and I feel lucky for that. But with that being said, like, taking your partner to go do something you love, like, if they don't love it, don't force it. Like, if they don't want to do that miserable hunt in the snow at 30 below, like, don't make them do it. Like, do you want to go to the opera if that's what they really love and you don't want to do it? You know, there's just little things you got to do together if you have similarities. I feel like Josh and I are lucky in that we both are kind of fanatic about that. But if your partner doesn't do it, don't force them. Maybe start on, like, a pack trip or something a little nicer.
Make it nice and comfortable. And I always, I have some great girlfriends that love to hike, and they're, they could hike all day. They can carry a pack. And I've kind of always asked them, like, have you ever thought about going, you know, moose or sheep hunting with your partner? And they're like, oh no, I would not like that. And I was like, it's the exact same as hiking. You're just going to shoot something, and your partner's already done it without your help. Like, you're going to see the most beautiful places in the world that you'd never see before. And I always laugh at that, because I'm like, you're pretty much doing the same thing. There's some kind of compromise there. But like you said, if people don't want to do it, you know, you just shouldn't. But if you are interested in doing it, I think there are so many ways to compromise to make it a little bit more comfortable. And learning and growing together as a couple in a new environment and having to, like, play those different roles or kind of, like, poke into your relationship, I think is always great. My husband and I went flying last night, and it's taken a while for us to get here and a lot of communication, because we've had some moments where it hasn't gone so well. So we had a while ago, we had a rule based off a bad experience where I was like, you need to read the room. And if this is not the time to give me advice, like, keep your mouth shut while we're in the air. And then when we're on the ground, let's talk about it. But now, like, after doing that a few times, like, we went out last night and did some unique kind of practice, and he's a great pilot and he's a lot better than me. And I was like, man, that went so great. Like, we both didn't get annoyed with each other. Like, no one snapped. But that takes practice, and it takes, like, talking to each other when the pressure's off.
Sure. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Well, so outside of your husband, you have a great group of girlfriends that you hunt with, which we kind of talked about is a little bit rare and has not always been the case. So can you kind of expand on your experience with your kind of circle of friends?
So yeah, like I was kind of saying, I really didn't have any girlfriends in the outdoor space. And I was a little weird about social media. Like, when someone random who you've never met just reaches out to you and is like, hey, you want to go hunting together? You're like, are you a dude? Like, yeah. I don't even know who you are. Are really? You know, it's kind of it's kind of weird. And so it was kind of like a friend of a friend hooked me up with another girl to go on a hunt with her. So like I said, my friend Lee, it's like, oh yeah, you got to go hunting with Angie. She knows all about waterfowl. You got to go with her. So I went hunting with Angie, and then from Angie, I met Ella. And then at one point, Angie was like, oh, you should really meet a lot of people know Amanda Caldwell. You guys don't live that far apart from each other. Like, she's in Montana, and you guys just remind me a lot of each other. Like, you should go. And I was kind of like, doubt it. Because I still had this mentality of, like, I don't really know. And I had met some, like, social media people, and I was like, oh, man, like, you need a therapist, you know? And so I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't like being forced upon people. Like, it's awkward to me. But she had a horse trailer that came up for sale, and I needed a horse trailer and happened to see it on social media. And so I reached out to her to buy it. And she's like, yeah, why don't you come hang out for the weekend and we can go riding and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, you know. And so her and I just hit it off, and we both like were into horses and camping in the outdoors and hunting. And it was kind of nice to be around a girl who could ride and who could take care of herself. And that was, even that little bit was pretty rare for me. And so she was really fun to hang out with. And then kind of from there, we just like kept compounding girlfriends who wanted to go hunting and go in the outdoors. And it really, for me, that was, social media was a big part of that. And when I started doing pack trips, I started meeting more women from that, and it just grew from there. And so I kind of went through a phase where I was like, I'm going to delete social media. Like, I can't stand this. This is weird. And then I remember getting messages of like, hey, you're such a good role model for my daughter. Or like, hey, you really inspired me to do this. And I was kind of like, okay, like, what if like me being on here, if it changes one person's life, like to me, that's worth it. So I was kind of like, all right. And then I kept meeting all these women, and then I would learn about places to hunt. And so now I love social media because I feel like I just see it in such a healthier aspect now. But yeah, it was just, that's the nice thing about social media is you can really look for whatever you're interested in, and then it will feed you everything you want about that. If you want trips or gear or any of that, you can get that all through social media.
And then you can unfriend people really easily when you don't want to see their stuff.
You can also, like, and who cares? Yeah. If you don't like someone, unfollow them or block them. I don't care. Yeah. If you don't want to see it, don't see it.
There's so many kind of soul-sucking aspects of social media. And kind of like you said, like, it's what purpose is it serving for you? And when you can find some positive aspects of it, it is like, okay, well, this is a great way to connect with people that I never would have before. And kind of the role model aspect, I can really appreciate that, and have also kind of felt at certain points like I really need to disconnect. This isn't feeding me in the right way. You kind of get on this role of like sharing these really cool aspects of your life, and then, but that's not my real life every day. Like, I'm not, you know, you're not going on these big events every day or doing these huge adventures every single day. And so sometimes it doesn't feel like your real life. And so people are only seeing the best part. But when you do get those conversations going about like, oh my, how did you do this? How did you get into this hobby? Or, you know, you've inspired me to think about doing this. It's like, okay, maybe it's worth it. If you're impacting a couple women to like reconsider what they could do to kind of fulfill their life, it's like, okay, that's pretty cool.
And I think people just need to remember that social media is just a window. You don't get to see inside their whole house. Like, you really just get to look at the window, and that is it. And I also think that's how you should probably treat social media as well, is just keep it a window, keep your life, keep control of that. I think it's awful if you just let your emotions kind of spiral out of control on social media, whether it's through comparison or if it's just kind of throwing everything out there, because I mean, not everyone out there is rooting for you. It's just nature. That's just humans. It's not like something to overly stress about, but just know that it's not necessarily the best to put every single thing out there. Like, just put out there whatever you want and try to keep some kind of control, because if everything you have is on social media, what's going to happen when that's taken away from you? Like, can you still survive and control yourself?
Yeah. Or do you have real connections in the real world?
Yeah, that too. For sure. I mean, I've met people on social media and like totally chatted it up, and I'm not usually that kind of person. But like just hit it off with somebody talking about hunts or things like that. And then I've seen them in real life, and obviously we know each other. Like, we've talked, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, hey, I'm like, okay.
Awkward.
Like, never mind. I never want to talk to you again. I'm so weird.
Yeah. I had a really humbling experience with meeting somebody through social media. And she had had quite a large Instagram following and was clearly into content creation and sponsored. And, you know, I know kind of our hunting culture in Alaska is maybe a little bit different. I don't know if I view that right, or I'm just kind of folk in my own little bubble, but I definitely had some preconceptions pop up and a few judgments and was like, I don't think this girl's the real deal. Like, this seems a little cheesy and fake to me. And then I met her, and within like 2 minutes of us talking, I was like, oh, I'm really eating my words. She's so awesome. She's like truly that humble. I mean, what you see, what you're seeing is really what you're getting with her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, this is good perspective. And I kind of checked myself after that. I was like, I gotta like let it go a little bit. Like, social media is, you know, not the person. So yeah,
exactly. And you have to realize, like, when you have this conception of somebody you've never met, part of that is your own personality, like, wrapping in there.
Yeah.
And so you just have to always realize that. Totally. But yeah, there's definitely been people I've met through social media, I'm like, oh my God, they're so much cooler than I thought they were. So much cooler than I thought they would be, or tougher, or way better in the mountains than I thought they ever would be. And it's just because you never really know, because social media does have a lens to it.
Well, I think kind of like you mentioned there, it's great to have boundaries, and also it's really good to make connections. And I kind of always encourage people, like, if you see someone doing something cool and you have questions, like, just reach out to them. You know, you never know what's going to come out of it.
Definitely don't be afraid to ask questions. That's one thing I probably get from women a lot. They're like, I don't know where to go or what to do or how to do it. And I'm like, just talk to people. And that's the big thing. A lot of people, most people in the outdoors are very encouraging and they want you to be part of the outdoors. And same with hunting. It's just somebody will have a bad experience with like that small percentage of people who's like barky and you don't belong here, or this is too tough, or blah, 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 or whatever the reasoning is. And they just get so hung up on that. Like, if you run into someone, like, just move around, move on to somebody else. Like, lots of people are out there and they want to help you.
Yeah, totally. I had a younger girl recently ask me about, she lives in the lower 48, and she said she really wanted to get into hunting and kind of asked me how. And I was like, man, I don't even really have like a great answer for you. I kind of like had this just blank stare, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I honestly think you'd find your way through community. So like looking for groups of women in your local area that go hiking together, or maybe there's like a local shooting club or like hunter education. But I think that you'll find so many of the answers you're looking for in community.
100%. Yeah. And kind of back to social media, it's getting easier and easier to find those groups of people.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like the outdoor women is really starting to grow, and it's a lot of women realizing that other women want to do this. And so there are groups out there. There are literally like hunting, like schools, I guess you could say, for women to go to for a week and things like that, where you can learn to shoot long range rifles, and some of them have hunts incorporated into it, and then how to process that animal. And there's a lot to them. So
I just think back to, you know, when I was like just a little girl, I would never have dreamed that there was resources out there like that we have today. It wasn't like that. And it's kind of like you said, there's so many women getting into it, and it's just really great to see that, you know, our world is so much bigger than we thought it was.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, can you kind of talk about your pack trips and how, you know, you kind of include women in that kind of recreation?
Yeah. So the first girls pack trip I ever had was just friends. And I was really just trying to book up my husband's pack trips for him and help him with that, just so we didn't have to pay guides to be in there. We could actually get money from clients to be in there. And so I did this trip with women, and they loved it. Like, a lot of them rebooked with their families or with their own friends, and it exploded on social media. I started getting so many questions. So many women are like, oh my gosh, I would love to do this. I just don't have friends who want to do this. And I was like, okay, like, maybe I should start booking these trips. And I was, at first, I'm like, man, who would, like, go on this trip across country, spend all this money, and, like, would people really want to do that? And yes, like, women want to be in the outdoors so bad that they did it. I remember this one client, she's kind of going through something in her life, and she was scrolling through social media, and my trip just happened to pop up on her social media feed right then. And I think she had, like, lost her job, and the other girl was, like, had been with her boyfriend for, like, 9 years and left her career to, like, go be with him, and he hadn't proposed. And kind of same thing, like, she was at this, like, snapping point, and this trip popped up, and she was like, I'm doing it. And they were from across the country, and they flew all the way out to Wyoming. I don't think I ever talked on the phone with either of them. It was just messages on social media. And they booked this trip, like, came across. I'm like, that is so ballsy, like, to take on a trip like that. Like, I'm not even sure 100% I would do that.
Oh, I was just thinking how brave that was. And I mean, I know you do some big hunts. Like, I'm not afraid to do some big, crazy things in life. Like, I don't think I don't think I'm brave enough to do that.
Yeah. And so that's when I was kind of like, man, these women really want to do this. And what else I love about it is usually those women who go on trips together end up becoming, like, super, super, super good friends and, like, lifelong friends, like, in each other's weddings and going to each other's bridal showers, like, states away. And it's amazing, like, the time they have up there. But also women that come that haven't really done even camping, and then they go on pack trips, and they're like, man, I'm kind of actually interested in hunting now. And that kind of blew my mind too. And so I think there's a lot of women out there who want to do these things. They just have no idea how to go about it. And then when they get out there, they love it so much more than they thought they would.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes to show what a little bit of time outdoors for someone, for anybody, but especially for someone maybe who's not used to it, really kind of feeds your soul.
Yeah, that and being away from your cell phone. I don't think people realize how much being out of cell phone service is good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, of course, I'm sure you've read or heard of the book, The Comfort Crisis. If you haven't, it's awesome for anyone who hasn't. But that book talks about it a lot. And I took a pack trip one time, and you don't have cell phone service out there, but we were up on this ridge, and I knew we had service there. And I was like, oh yeah, like, we happen to have service here. Worst mistake I ever made. And I have never told clients that again. Because they started turning their phones on, and people were getting emails from work. They were getting text messages. Like, the whole, like, happy, light, like, go lucky vibe just totally nosedived. And people were stressed out. They were, like, wanting to get home. They had, like, stuff from work. And I was kind of like, oh man, like, why did I do that? Like, I just ruined, you know, their trip. Their trip was over the next day, but I was like, it was just so blatantly obvious, like, how much happier you get when you don't have all that extra added stress in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think people realize how happy they can get when they don't have that constant stressor.
Yeah. And most people don't get an opportunity to go somewhere without cell phone service.
No, never. And I mean, there's a lot of clients who get panicked about it. And there are satellite texters or inreaches and things like that. And of course, all the guides have them for emergencies. And if they want them, they can get them. But yeah, just not being on social media and not being in your emails and all that stuff, it's good for you.
Can you kind of walk us through, like, what a pack trip looks like? Like, how many days, how do you get out there? How many days? What does it look like?
We do 5-day minimums now. We used to do shorter, and every single client was like, oh man, I wish we were here another day. I wish we were here another day. So now they're 5-day minimums. So you have to drive to Meteetse, Wyoming, which is about an hour and a half from where we live. And to the trailhead is about an hour and a half from there. And so then everything gets on horses and mules. And so all your gear is packed up. We just have our clients keep it to under 65 pounds, which for 5 days is pretty easily doable for a lot of people. And then I send a whole gear list of, like, what you need to bring, what's recommended. So the only thing they have to bring camping-wise is a 0-degree sleeping bag. And it's usually not that cold, but it has snowed in July up there, so that's why we always say 0 degree, just in case. We do have propane heaters up there if you absolutely needed them, but everything else we have. So it's a wall tank camp. It's actually our elk hunting camp. And so we just set it up in July. Clients ride in 2.5 hours, ride up a river. You cross the river a few times on horseback. And then you get into camp. And usually by the time you get into camp, your chef just meets you with like appetizers and drinks. And you kind of hang out and have a nice dinner that night. We try to keep the group smaller and private. The only ones that I do mixed are the mixed ladies groups usually. And so those groups, we kind of take a poll on what people want to do. Because some people want to go riding. Some people want to do fly fishing. Some people just want to go like look for cool stuff like antlers or things like that. And usually by that time of year, there's not a whole lot of stuff in there. But like occasionally you can find some cool things from time to time. So we kind of take a poll and then the guides just change whatever they're going to do based on the group. And so every once in a while we'll have someone who's like, look, I just want to lounge and camp all day. And if that's what they want to do, that's what they can do. And if some people want to go to like mountaintop horseback rides, they do that. And then also the Grable River is amazing, place to learn to fly fish because there's a lot of fish and they are not super picky. There's not like a lot of big fish, but it's like great for beginners. And so it's very encouraging when you're trying to figure it out when you catch a fish, even if you don't have perfect technique. Yeah. So I always tell people, if you've ever thought about fly fishing, like definitely at least do it here. You can at least practice. It's a great place to learn. And so they get to do that for 3 days. And then on the fifth day, the last day, everybody gets up, has breakfast, packed everything up, and then everything's back out on horseback again.
Are people so sad to leave?
Yeah, sad. And like, I feel like by the fifth day, like people are ready. We have a shower tent up there, but it's not the greatest water pressure. So people are like, they're ready to get back and have a shower and like all that. But at the same time, there are people that are like, man, I wish I could live up here all summer, or they just talk about it. And we have repeat clients. We have some families that come back every year, groups of friends that come back every single year. They go to the same camp, do the same things. They just love it so much.
It sounds really magical. Where would people like look into this experience and try to book with you?
There is a social media account just for the pack trips, and it's Wyoming Pack Trips. I can send that info to you as well. And then my husband's outfits are Shoshone Lodge Outfitters and Trails West Outfitters. And we do have pack trip information through both of those. And WyomingPackTrips.com.
Awesome. I have always been so envious of people who own horses and people who use their horses to hunt with. And I know you guys, you know, have mules and horses, and it just looks so amazing. Just incredible.
I mean, it's pretty fun. I mean, the places you can go, just because you can go far right off the bat. And then when you got to do the nitty gritty stuff, you can do that on foot. But yeah, going with horses is just fun.
It just looks amazing. Yeah. So kind of switching gears just a little bit. Can you share with us a particular memorable or impactful outdoor experience that you've had that you kind of, you know, think back to often or kind of keep in your back pocket if you need a little motivation or kind of that reason why?
The one thing about hunting is you're constantly pushing yourself for mental toughness, I feel like. So you're always getting reassurance. As long as you don't quit, you're always getting that reassurance of, oh my gosh, I did that. I climbed that mountain. I did this. I made it through those elements. And so there's a lot of those little moments, but I think there was a moment that really triggered me to like, oh my gosh, like I just love this. It totally just was the ignition of it all for me. So like I told you, growing up, we hunted for meat, like literally road hunting. That's what we did. It was just like the smart, quick, easy way to get meat. None of this like backcountry adventure hunting. And I went with Josh to New Zealand, and we had just started dating. So it was kind of like, well, hey, we'll hang out here for a week. And then the second week, I was actually going to go travel New Zealand by myself, and Josh was going to go on this helicopter drop hunt with his guide, which cool. Obviously, yeah, way cool. But like, I couldn't go because I wasn't booked on it. So I was like, you know, whatever, like I'll go travel and have a great time. Like, it'll be fine. And so the weather came in and they couldn't get the helicopter in. So they were like, well, why don't you just come with us? And I was like, all right. And that was riding, I don't know what kind of vehicle it was, but something kind of like a Jeep, up a riverbed for like 2.5 hours. And oh man, it was brutal. And we had to hike like 2,000 vertical feet. And I just remember I was even in shape then, but I was getting my doors blown off, like physically. And it was just steep and just really intense. Like, you know, when you have those moments when you're like climbing and you're like, you freeze up because you're like, I'm going to fall. And then you're like, well, if I freeze, I'm going to fall. Like, I was having a lot of those moments. And I was,
it's like you remember you could die if you took a bad step. Yeah. It's like a.
Yeah. Like, it was just like a lot, like, very, like, oh my gosh, like, this is intense. And Josh turned to me and he was like, Lacey, if you can hunt here and you can hunt this, you can hunt anywhere in the world. And I think it was just like a moment of realization of, I really, like, I could do anything in the world terrain wise as far as hunting goes. And that was just kind of a moment of like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this. Like, I like this.
Yeah.
And so that just like totally started it all for me. And I just loved it ever since.
Especially, I'm, you know, assuming coming from your spouse, who sounds kind of like a guy that can do it all, like hearing those words of recognition must have just felt so good.
I mean, yeah, it definitely made me feel a lot better. But I, because at first I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm a sissy. Like, I'm getting beat up with this, you know, like, I would never quit and I would never admit I was dying. But when he just said that, I was just like, oh yeah, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to travel the world and hunt. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is so great. It's like kind of hard to, when you are struggling, to be like, man, am I just like not cut out for this? Or like, God, did I not train enough? Or like, why am I struggling so much? And then you, like, your partner looks over at you and just says something and you're like, I'm like meant to be here. Like, I'm meant to be doing yeah. this. I knew I could do it. Like, I just needed to hear it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what are a few things that you wish you could go back and tell your younger self?
So I was kind of a people pleaser, or very worried about what people thought of me for a while in my life. I got in some trouble when I was like 15, and I lived in a small town of like 1,200 people. And so it was very this kind of like, oh yeah, you like, parents were worried about their kids hanging out with me because I got in trouble. And it was just so... I felt this need to be successful and kind of prove myself always to people, like, hey, I'm not a piece of crap person. And so, but I think I got a little wrapped up in that. And I was actually very miserable in my life at the time. I was in a relationship that was not very healthy. It was very toxic. But like, everything on the outside looked great to people. Like, I was a dentist. I was successful. People were like, oh, and women all the time would be, or girls all the time would be like, I wish I had your life. Or, man, I wish I could have, like, be you. Or, you're so amazing. You have the perfect life. And I was like, if you only knew, like, I'm actually miserable. Like, I had cried every day all the time. And finally, and I don't really talk about this with a lot of people, but I have started to, because if it saves one person, I was actually pretty suicidal at that point in my life. And the only reason, or one of the main reasons that I didn't do it, is because my dad was very sick and I was also taking care of him. And I knew if I wasn't there, like, he was just going to get stuck in a nursing home and nobody was going to take care of him. And so I finally one day had this like moment of like, you would rather end it all than just disappoint a few people? Like, what is wrong with you? And so I kind of had that moment, and that came along with, I had started working out and I was getting outside more again. And so I think that was starting to clear up my mental health, and that was helping me think a little clearer as well. And then I was kind of like, what am I doing? Like, why am I so worried about what these people are going to think of me based on, like, if I have to make this choice for my happiness? And so I made some big changes in my life, and there were some people that gave me some kind of pushback, some people that like shocked me. And I think it kind of gave me more of this rebellious attitude where I was like, F you. Like, I literally was about to go kill myself. And like, that makes you uncomfortable because I decided to go this way with my life. And so if there's one advice I could give myself when I was younger, it was, don't worry about what people think, honestly, because no matter what you do, there's going to be people who disapprove of you. And so that isn't something to worry about, but also the people who love you are going to love you no matter what. And the people who are suddenly not going to love you or not going to want you to be a part of your life, then they never really were a part of your life and they never really supported you. You just made them comfortable. And so just do what you need to do to have peace in your life. And if any of that makes somebody else uncomfortable, just maybe that part in your life is over. And so not to let that drag you down.
Yeah.
Like your inner peace is more important than anything.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure there are quite a few people listening that maybe can relate to being in a kind of a dark place in life. And kind of like you said, it's a hard thing to be in your early 20s, mid 20s, 30s, and you're kind of in this pivotal role where you're learning more about yourself. But, you know, you telling that story, it sounds like you started to kind of pour more into yourself and show up a little bit more for yourself. And in turn, that is really what kind of brought you out of the darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like I said, in taking care of my dad was, I think, I was starting a business and taking care of him. And I just knew I wasn't mentally well. I was crying a lot, which, like, that is not healthy. And I just had all these things going on where I was like, okay, like, I need to do something for myself. And so for me, that first something for myself was working out for 30 to 45 minutes a day. Like, that is such a small fraction of your day. And so I started doing that alone just for myself. And I think that was such a huge stepping stone in getting mentally healthier after that point. I mean, that alone didn't do it. And there wasn't one single thing here or there that did it. But you've got to take care of yourself. Like, that, just end of the day.
You have to. And that is really good advice. Like, taking one little step. I mean, of anything in life, if you look at this whole, the whole, it gets a little overwhelming. But picking one thing to focus on, and when you accomplish something, I think that fulfillment really helps kind of support that. And then it's like, well, maybe I could do something else. Okay, I accomplished that. Like, what else can I do? And I think you really were so spot on in talking about considering what others think of you. And in reality, like, how often do you reflect so heavily on what somebody else is doing? You know, we really don't, but we put so much thought into what others think of us, and it really weighs us down.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, they're there for you or they're not. And they're people who love you are always going to love you. And a lot of times, like, people are probably not even thinking about you as much as you think. Yeah. To be completely honest, like, they've got their own stuff going on in their own life. Yeah. And so, yeah, just don't worry about what other people think, like, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. And we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but you get just such a small glimpse into people's lives, whether it's social media or a coworker or a friend you only see a couple times a year. And it's so easy to think that someone's life is perfect just because you see this front. And it's a really good reminder to kind of pick up on cues around the people, you know, around you, and kind of distinguishing, like, those that might need a helping hand or a little bit more time or just a little extra love, I guess.
Yeah. Definitely those nice things. They go a long way for a lot of people.
But I think, you know, to your point, even, you know, in Alaska, seasonal depression is really common because we get so much darkness in the winter. And, you know, besides that, life is pretty hard sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to do what's easy. And what's easy is, kind of like you said earlier, sitting down and watching TV. But when you start kind of giving yourself goals and working out, and I feel like I always hear that people are bringing themselves out of something, like a hard time, by moving their bodies and whatever way it is, whether it's getting outside or doing an exercise class. But it's really amazing how much it helps.
Yeah, I totally agree. And And I'm also really big on just being outside. I don't know 100% what it is. I mean, it sounds so hippie-like, and I swear I'm not really like that. But, like, the sun and fresh air and just, like, being able to touch the dirt and the grass, like, to me, when I'm out in the mountains, like, that just feels like home. That feels like where people are supposed to be. Like, we're supposed to be a part of nature and all of this. And there's study after study after study. Even people who just go and sit in parks outside without their phones, like how much their anxiety and depression goes down. And so even people who don't hunt, like I always encourage people to get outside and get to the outdoors. And so after my dad had died, like that was a big part of what I did when I was like going out of cell phone service and things like that. Was I just wanted to be outside, and I just hiked and really took in everything I saw. And just to me, it just makes it all kind of more magical, and you really appreciate all of nature. And it just helps you think clearer when you're out there, and you can kind of work through all that, obviously physically because you're hiking, but then also just to get all that distraction away. And it's just, it's clear cut and it's nature. And I think it cuts out all the, I guess, bullshit you could say. Because when you're in the mountains for like weeks, and I kind of have this when I come back sometimes, I'll come back and somebody will be like, oh my gosh, so-and-so said this. And I'm like, why do you even care? Like, that is so not important, like in the grand scheme of life. And so I think there is a lot to be said about having alone time, being out in nature, and really just healing that way.
Yeah. I think time outside kind of gives us perspective about what's really important or not, like you just said. Mm-hmm. And in the grand scheme of things, like I always kind of have a really hard time coming back from a great hunt. I find myself kind of going into a pretty big low because you just had this, you know, for many people, once in a lifetime experience, which we're fortunate enough to get to do so many mm-hmm. times in our lifetime, yeah. hopefully so many more. And then you have to go to your job. It's like, I'm not supposed to be doing this. Like, this is not, this is like killing my soul. It's not feeding my soul. It's really hard. And, or you're like paying bills or grocery shopping, and you're just coming from that place of like being super present and feeling connected with, you know, the world outside of you and maybe your partner, your friends or whatever, and then coming back to the real world, it's kind of a slap in the face a little bit, like back to reality. But in the same token, I think it's great perspective and kind of gives you that reason why, like why we work, why we have partners, why maybe we have children, why we have community. Like those do help support us in what really matters. And I mean, for, you know, you, me, probably so many of the listeners, it's being outside. And it's just kind of the reason why we have to do everything and kind of the balance of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Totally.
Well, what kind of advice or encouragement would you give to listeners who maybe are struggling with a goal or, I guess, you know, looking to get outside of their comfort zone and try something new?
So if you have like an activity or something you want to do, is find people who already do those things. A lot of people who are successful want to help the people behind them. If there's anything I've learned is people don't punch down. And so usually when people grow and climb, they want to reach down and help you because at one point in their life, they were probably in the same spot as you. And if you really do have that desire or are passionate about something, people want to help you. And so just reach out to mentors, talk to people. If you don't like someone or how they like to do things or say things, just move on to another one. That doesn't mean the whole activity or the whole hobby or whatever you're into is bad. It's just some people just think different than you. That's all that is. And so just reach out. Like I said, not to go back to social media again, but even like, for example, if you wanted to get into hunting, you could go to a local archery shop and ask them about it, and they might be able to point you in the direction of someone who does lessons or shooting leagues or groups. Or there's so many clubs out there, I feel like, nowadays that people are meeting. Women, like, get together to go hiking and mountain biking and do all sorts of things. There's, like, women's business clubs and all sorts of stuff out there. So whatever your goal is, just find mentors and just kind of go from there. I mean, don't be afraid to branch out. Don't be afraid to look stupid. Don't be afraid to fail, because everyone who has succeeded has failed at least at one step in the process. And so I think just look past failure. Failure is not detrimental. Failure is just part of the process, and failure is how you grow and become better. And so if there's anything you're scared of, just do it scared, do it messy, and do it anyway. And you will get better, and you will become that person that you want to be if that's really what you want.
Oh, man, I love that. I feel like I could go out and do, like, anything now. Should be like a motivational speaker at that time too. So is there anything else that you want to add, share before we sign off?
Not that I can think of. I feel like we are really,
I know. I was like, man, an hour has gone by so fast.
I can't believe I just saw the time up there. Yeah. Like, wow.
Time flies when you're having fun. So where would listeners find you on social media besides your business pages?
So I do have a personal social media, and that's at Wyoming Lace. No dot or anything in there. I just have one account. There is a couple other spammy accounts out there, but if they only have like a couple photos, I try to report them. If they only have a couple photos, obviously those are not me. So I only have one personal account on there.
Okay. I hate that. It's like, don't people have anything better to do with their time? Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're really busy, and I'm really blown away with this conversation. I think a lot of people are going to resonate with what you, all that you shared. And I just think your words of encouragement were so great. And the world is a better place with women who are encouraging others. And I think you're just doing a really great job. And thanks for taking the time.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate just getting to come on here and talk about all this stuff. I think it's great.
Once again, thank you for tuning into the show. We hope that your cup is full and you're ready to embrace your untamable vibe. If you enjoyed the show, could you do us a favor? Help us grow our audience by sharing your favorite episode on social media, sending the episode to a friend, and leaving us a review online. We love to hear from you. One more thing, be sure to press that subscribe button and never miss a weekly episode. See you next week.